But speaking of the Commanders, it is time to spin the commander wheel, Danny. We're going to do this leading up to training camp. We're going to spin the wheel. We've got player options. It's going to land on a player. Darius will then let us know who it is, and that player is going to be the topic of conversation for us for the rest of the hour here. So without further ado, our first spin of the commander wheel.
Senate.
With the 53rd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Washington Commanders select Ben Sinnott.
Wide open downfield, Ben Sinnott. They're very high on Sinnott, and you can see why. Carrying tacklers with him. Fake it, Mariota throws it, caught by Sinnott. Touchdown! The first of his NFL career, rookie out of Kansas State.
Here's Tressway. Oh, it's a fake. Look at the throw. He's got a man wide open, and it's caught. Sinnott, the third tight end. What a fake by Washington, and the rookie delivers for the drive continues.
Going into this year, getting a full offseason, getting my body back, knowing the offense and already having those chemistry built. So just one that's ready to get better and hopefully build a big role in this team.
Nicely put together package on Ben Sinnott by Darius, who dug deep into the archives there. He found three Ben Sinnott highlights.
Three of the four. I mean, the preseason catch was great.
Preseason catch, fake punt in the NFC Championship game. Darius was in his bag right there, boys and girls. Five catches for 28 yards, and you heard the touchdown for Ben Sinnott as a rookie last season. Now, it would be easy to come down on him for having a bad rookie season statistically. He got no opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is actually a good thing, probably. He was an insurance policy for Zach Ertz. I think when you bring in Ertz, who hadn't been able to stay healthy in years, you knew that if he goes down, you're going to have a problem at tight end, and it made the position still a need behind him on the depth chart, which is part of why they drafted Ben Sinnott where they did, at 53rd overall in the second round. You just heard the draft pick. But the big fella, 6'4", 247, didn't play a lot. When he did play, he mostly blocked and had just the five catches. So, Danny, let's look back first at the rookie season. How much of him not getting on the field more is about him? I mean, if he was lighting it up in practice, if he
If you couldn't keep him off the field, you wouldn't have kept him off the field.
Clearly, he would have gotten more looks, right? Or did he just have no chance, nothing to do with it?
So I think he had a part in it, and it sounds like an indictment to a degree. Some of it, as you said, is the Ertz success. And, you know, John Bates being the more dedicated blocker, so it didn't leave as much of a role for him to kind of get on the field by default. But he didn't also beat the door down either here, by all accounts, right? So it could take, especially coming from a different college system and a different type offense where you're not necessarily asked to do some of these things. I've heard some smart people smarter than me, say that if you don't come from a pure pro-style system where you're asked to do almost the exact same identical things you're doing at the next level, it could take a minute for some tight ends. Now, there's some guys that are so talented, you don't care. Brock Bowers, I don't really care if you're doing the same things or not. I'm throwing you the ball 140 times, we'll figure it out, right? But for someone that's got to use his physicality, be around the line of scrimmage, you know, chip and block tight defensive ends and get on the second level to linebackers and work routes a certain way, maybe there's a learning curve there. So it's not to slam the gavel and say he'll never be good, but so far, not much return on investment from that pick to this point. And I think some of that is him. Again, not to say that it'll never happen, that he'll never figure it out, but you need more from that guy, and I think this is the year it needs to happen.
What percentage of offensive snaps do you think he played last year, if you had to guess?
20?
27%. A little over a quarter of snaps. More than I would have thought, honestly. 311 offensive plays he was on the field for. Now, it goes without saying that, you know, as a tight end, you're just in line a lot of the time, mm-hmm. doing some blocking. You're an extra tackle, essentially, a bunch. Because we could just look at the target share to see how often you're actually involved in the passing game. And in fact, he only had five passes thrown to him on over 300 plays, which I think also says something. I mean, I don't know how many of the 311 were passing plays, but let's just say conservatively that 225 were.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that's not even a... 311, let's divide it by two. Let's
call it 160.
Yeah, I think that's a good number.
A little over halfway.
150, 160, something like that. If they were that many passes, only five times did Jaden Daniels throw you the ball. Like, we have a thing called, we can look that up. Like, where targets when you're on the field on pass attempts percentage, super low. That needs to be bumped up. But if you're the second tight end, a lot of the times, you might be fourth. You might be the last line of defense, so to speak, for the quarterback where he's about to get sacked and you're the guy he dumps it down to. I am still high on him, and I say that with some trepidation. I have to acknowledge that to have as uninvolved a season as he did and as ineffective a season as he did as a pass catcher, clearly there was something he was doing that wasn't good enough for them. Because I just have a hard time believing if you drafted a guy at 53, Danny, it's round two.
Yeah.
If a dude's out there at practice shaking and baking, making dudes look bad, there is no way you don't involve him. And Zach Ertz was good, really good, actually. Second half of the season, I thought he was dynamite. NFC Championship game, he dominated. He had double-digit catches. He had some really, really big games.
Yes.
But it's also not like he was the type of weapon where you can't spell him. You know, we called him No-Yak Zach for a good portion of the year because while he got open and he helped Jaden Daniels, he was kind of a catch-and-fall guy. So I guess my point is, I think this is a twofold story. If I'm doing a blame pie for Sinnott being a non-contributor in year one, I'll say 65% was probably opportunity. 35% or so was something that he wasn't doing. And maybe it should be 70, 30, 75, 25. But I still like what I saw. If I'm basing almost all of this on a preseason game. Mm-hmm. On a couple catches at training camp and a catch against the Jets in the preseason where he carried dude down the field. Like four guys down the field and made a play after the catch. But I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. It's like going and scouting a high school pitcher, seeing him dot 94 on the black and rip off a breaking ball. I'll take him in the first round and I'll make pitching coaches figure the rest out. Get this guy where I need him to go as he fills out and gets stronger. I've seen Sinnott look like a beast. Now I need you to figure out how to make it happen.
To me, it's closer to 55-45 circumstances. And then the other part's him.
Meaning you blame him a little more than I do.
Yeah. And it sounds like, but I'm not doing that at all. I'm saying, like, at some point, I need you to be more of a threat than John Bates. I know Bates is on the field more than you, and we'll end up just getting looks there, but that's part of the equation. Jeremy McNichols out-targeted him 3-1 almost. You know, like, at some point, what is it you do here? Now, I'm hoping this year is that where you hit the ground running. This is the year that you've got the sea legs underneath you. You've had the apprenticeship under Zach Ertz, and you slowly but surely take over for him because there's a chance he's far more dynamic than Ertz, as we referenced the catch and fall situation. And if this goes great, you're sort of passing the baton between the vet to the kid, and Ertz still has a role for me. But Sinnott, again, is a second-round pick. I keep coming back to that. You look at their second round, not a huge return on investment yet from Johnny Newton. I think there's upside there, but still you haven't had it yet.
And he actually played enough that he could have showed more than he did.
Rotational guys.
He was okay.
Sanra still, yes, that's a win. Although, you didn't take Cooper DeJean. You didn't take Kulin McKinstry. You didn't take Roger Rosengarten, who went after Ben Sinnott. Guys that played and did really well at positions where you go, damn, they could have used that guy. So they went in on this. And Adam Peters evoked Kyle Juszczyk and George Kittle. When talking about what they envision for him, I'd love 40% of that next year.
Right.
Or 20% of that. Well, that's more than five catches.
And this was the point I was making last year every time the draft class came up, is I think the success of Jaden Daniels, which is the most important thing.
Without a doubt.
It's kind of the thing. So if you just want to give it an A and never think about it again, I'm okay with that. But I think because of how good he was, we didn't really have enough discussion about how little they got from some other really important pieces. And they, on a batting average, like, hit enough base hits. Mikey Sanra still was really good. Brandon Coleman played tackle and is going to be, I think, an outstanding guard. So this is not the Ron Rivera, Marty Party ops.
No.
That's not what I'm saying. But Luke McCaffrey was a top 100 pick. Gave you nothing at receiver, basically. Ben Sinnott was picked just outside of the top 50. A team like Washington is not drafting and stashing at tight end at 52, 53, I guess he was.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Like, you need more out of him. So it's time to give him some chances. Now, as you said, the status quo remains at tight end because they brought back Ertz. They had a chance not to. They brought back Bates. They had a chance not to. Bates, they love as a blocker. The less you throw him the football, the happier I'll be. But I think it's time to involve Ben Sinnott. And if you don't, it does tell me that you're just not that high on how much he can help you. Like, it doesn't make sense in his second year to say, we got Zach Ertz, man. It's not a position like that. This is not left tackle or center or something where you don't get reps, where you don't split time, where you can't have two guys on the field, where if he's just a weapon who can win some matchups, you can't put him out in the slot every now and then and tell him to work on a linebacker or put him off the edge and throw him a ball in the flat to rumble a little bit. Line him up. You want to call him Kyle Juszczyk? Put him in the backfield in a split eye.
Or do something. I mean, this goes back to where Washington couldn't get on board with this and couldn't quite figure this out years ago, where they had their two of their four best offensive players both happened to be tight ends, and Chris Cooley and Fred Davis. And it was like, well, we can't play two. We're sort of stuck. The hell you can't? Live in New England. Now, I know, you know, the journey and career of one went south, but when you had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez opposite each other, they were a matchup nightmare for people, right? And they figured it out that this is your best chance. If he was one of their three or four best offensive weapons, you don't think he'd have been on the field too?
Do you have the same pause that I do just saying his name out loud?
Yeah. It's like I'm going, I had to couch this really, really carefully, even though I'm not.
It's just so weird.
Uh-huh.
It's like, well, I won't even compare what it's like, but there's certain things when you say, like, names of human beings all the time, when you say them out loud, you just fill with anxiety.
Yeah, it's like,
He's one of them.
Yeah. There's a list. We could make one during the break.
I mean, there's some other Netflix documentaries, you know, like, in a row that I've watched, and it's like, there's a guy, you know. But you're right. That tight end room with Gronk and Hernandez, that wrote the book on you can make this work if you want to.
Yeah, there's no more like, okay, you're a tight end. We have a one tight end set. You will go in next play. No. Your best offensive players on the field. If it's a matchup problem, which it would be, if you had two of a tight end that could run the way it looks like he can run, I would love for you to go nickel. Oh, please go nickel. I'll knock his ass into next week. Okay, fine. Let's go base defense. I'll run right by you. Yes, that's the point of a guy like that.